You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network on this Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. Stay warm and stay safe today, as the weather reports indicate the Northeast is going to be hit with another big winter weather event. So wishing everybody a safe day out there. Today we are going to take stock of where the Jets are as free agency starts to wind down. There's still some guys out there, and you'll see guys changing teams over the next few months, even into the summer. You may see guys that you recognize changing teams, but most of the big fish have settled into new spots. So we are going to take a look at where the Jets' biggest needs are now. We're going to look at their top five biggest needs now that we're pretty deep into free agency. We're deep enough that most of the big names that we're going to sign have signed. Now, there may be a guy or two out there. A new name has entered the mix, Allen Hurns, the receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who was just cut and actually had a visit with the Jets scheduled today, but it has been postponed due to the weather. It was tough for Hurns to get into the area. So Hurns is going to go to Dallas and have a visit with the Cowboys, and the Jets are now hoping that it does not go well enough that Hurns leaves with a contract, or maybe Hurns doesn't leave because he signed a contract. Hurns is now scheduled to visit the Jets after he visits the Cowboys, so I'm sure the Jets will have their fingers crossed on that front. Now, with that said, we're going to look at what I think are the five biggest needs at this moment. Now, remember, we still have the draft in front of us, so some of these needs could be filled. And in fact, I think our biggest need is most definitely going to be filled. So why don't we jump in? And the number one need is obvious, and I know I'm going to probably catch a little grief for saying it because, again, the Jets are going to address this need. I think we know that they're going to address this need, but it is the quarterback position. And the way I view it is, until you are sure you have a long-term solution at quarterback, you have a need there, and it's a need that's bigger than all the others. Now, the Jets are going to draft a guy, so there's no question about that. The Jets hopefully will have that need filled. I'm not sure you'll be able to definitively conclude the need is filled until you see what the young guy can do, what the rookie can do once he's in the lineup. Now, I will say this. I think the Jets have done a nice job offering themselves multiple chances to hit at the quarterback position by signing Teddy Bridgewater. And they signed him to a deal that was pretty well structured if you look at it. More details have come out. The Jets have taken on very minimal risk in this deal. Now, ideally, would you have liked it to have been more than a one-year deal, have some option years at the end? Sure, but the Jets still have mechanisms that will prevent them from losing Bridgewater in the event Bridgewater has a big year, even though he's only on a one-year deal. So I like what the Jets did from that standpoint, and now essentially the way I view it is now you have two shots. You have a guy who was a former first-round pick who showed you some promise. Now, I don't think you can necessarily conclude 100% that Bridgewater was on his way to being a franchise quarterback in Minnesota. There were some things that you liked. There were some things you didn't like. Now you tack the injury onto that. How's he going to respond to that? How's he going to respond to missing 2 years of critical development time? We don't know, but for the price the Jets paid, it was worth a shot. And now the Jets also have a chance to draft a quarterback. So there's hope at the quarterback position, and we've talked about this over the course of this week. There's hope at this position for the first time in a long time. So it's not the dire need I would have said it was heading into the 2017 season, where you had a 38-year-old Josh McCown and two young guys who really had questionable upside. And we saw during the preseason and then into the regular season that there really was not much upside in these two guys. Now what you're going to have is a former first-round pick in Bridgewater who's shown you some flashes of promise. He's shown you some signs of promise, some signs that he's going to develop into a quality NFL quarterback, and a guy who hopefully you hope will be a blue-chip quarterback prospect, because we're talking about a guy who's going to be a top-three pick. So even though the need remains, even though it's still your number one need, you have to be more optimistic than you were at this point 6 months ago, 9 months ago, 1 year ago. So things are a little different. So I do want to make that clarification, is even though I'm saying it's the biggest need, things are looking brighter than they were. Now let's go to our number two need, and it's the same as it would have been before the free agent period. And I'm not really sure there's much the Jets could have done to address this position in the free agent period, because much like quarterback, the guys who are really good at this position tend to not hit free agency. Their team tends to lock them up. So I don't think that there's really almost ever a chance to upgrade this spot in free agency, and that's the edge rusher position. And as we've discussed many times, as not just here on this podcast, but as many NFL experts will tell you, when it comes to defense, that's the most important position. That's where you generate most of your pass rush. You can have good interior pass rushers, but it's very difficult to have a defense that's good without a legitimate edge rusher. You know, you can build your pass rush around the interior pass rushers if you want. If you have a great corner or two, maybe you can build it around some coverage schemes, but most great defenses are built around a great edge rusher or multiple great edge rushers. And the Jets just don't have that. Now, Mike Maccagnan has at least tried to some extent to bring edge rushers in. He's drafted one in all three of his draft classes. Unfortunately, I'm not sure any of these guys is going to develop into the type of pass rusher the Jets need. Now, of the three, you do have one guy in Jordan Jenkins who looks like he's a player in this league. He looks like he's going to be a good role player. So that may end up being a successful pick, but the need remains. You have to find a guy who can get after the quarterback, and it feels like the Jets have not had that since John Abraham was terrorizing quarterbacks off the edge for the Jets, and he left the team after the 2005 season, and here we are in 2018, and the Jets still have not really replaced him. The Jets actually have had some good defensive seasons, and a lot of that had to do with Darrelle Revis, went back when Revis was in his prime, and they've had some good interior pass rushers. So, I mean, the Jets have been able to piece together in the ways I discussed, whether it's coverage, whether it's interior pass rushers, but it's much easier when you have a guy or guys off the edge who can go get the quarterback. It just makes everybody, it makes life so much easier, because those guys command double teams. Your interior guys get to work one-on-one. Your corners don't have to cover for as long. There's so much less that needs to go right when you have a guy who can get to the quarterback off the edge. And again, I'm not criticizing the Jets for not addressing it in free agency this year. I'm criticizing the Jets for not being able to address it for over a decade. And that's just, not just Mike Maccagnan. That goes back multiple general managers. So, and that's, you know, that's part of the story as to why the Jets have not been that great of an organization. Now, again, to Mike Maccagnan's credit, he's at least tried to draft guys over the last 3 years, whereas the Jets in the Rex Ryan era, it's incredible when you think about the defensive focus Rex had. The Jets only drafted two edge rushers, and they were both his last year. So the Jets went 2009, 2010, 11, 12, 13, didn't draft a single edge rusher in any of those years, unless you count Quinton Coples, who was not drafted to be an edge rusher. And then even 2014, they drafted two guys late rounds at the end of the draft, Trevor Riley and, of course, our good friend IK, whose most lasting contribution had nothing to do on the field, nor was it positive. So edge rusher remains a problem spot for the Jets. They're at least trying to address it. They haven't been very successful at it so far, however. Now, our third spot, this is going to be a change from what it would have been before free agency. Before free agency, I probably would have told you the cornerback position. And corner is, at least on the defense the Jets run, and frankly, most defenses, probably the second most important position defensively, because today's NFL is a passing league. You have to be able to stop the pass in this league. You have to be able to cover. Now, I will say this, and this is somewhat negative. Is this a great group of corners? No, it is not. Is this a group of corners where you get great bang for your buck? No, it is not. It is a very expensive group of corners, and it's okay now. They've upgraded to okay. But it's not a glaring weakness anymore, which is a positive for the Jets. I think the number three position, and again, this is another long-time trouble spot for the Jets, and it's tight end, and it reached comedic levels in 2015 and 2016, how unproductive this position was for the Jets, but it's been a problem spot for a long time. I mean, it's really tough to think of a quality tight end the Jets have had through the years. I mean, they had maybe the 1 year of Dustin Keller, and then there were the one year Dustin Keller had, you know, put together a solid season, and then there were a couple other years where he was a decent complimentary part, but the Jets have just not been able to figure out this position, it feels like, ever since I've been watching the team. And they've made efforts. I mean, they've invested a lot of early draft picks. You know, you want to go back a long way, you can go back to Johnny Mitchell, to Kyle Brady. And that was one of the great memories of my youth, was when the Jets drafted Kyle Brady over Warren Sapp, and my dad was so upset that he told me, stop rooting for the Jets. He said, I was still a kid at this point. My dad goes, for the love of God, John, you are young. You have enough time. You can change your mind. Don't make the same mistake and this was after the Jets drafted Kyle Brady. And we knew that pick was not going to go very well. More recently, Jason Morrow did not pan out. I mean, you go back to the Jets trading that first-round pick for Doug Jolly and a second-round pick. They just have not been able to figure out this position. And I know the natural response people are going to get on them because they lost Austin Seferian Jenkins. And I've said this before, I don't think that that's a huge loss. I'm not sure this is a strength. This may be in our top five, even with ASJ still in the mix, because he was a guy who looked better than what the Jets had, but I'm talking 350 yards and not great blocking. So even with him in the mix, I'm not sure that this is a position that's necessarily a whole lot lower on this list. Jets just don't have much at tight end. Now, they have a good blocker in Eric Tomlinson, who's cheap, so you at least have that, but in terms of what you're looking for at this position, not very good, not that great at the moment. Now, our number four position, and this one has been upgraded at its weakest spot. I don't think there's any question about that. That's the offensive line, where you brought in Spencer Long, who is a guy who can't help but be better than Wesley Johnson. Johnson was a swing and a miss for the Jets last year. I think that's the only way to put it. They took a calculated gamble that Johnson could hold down the center position. They took a calculated gamble that their offensive line coach would be able to make something out of some pieces that were raw, pieces that were questionable, and it did not pan out. So the Jets at least upgraded their weakest link, and as far as I'm concerned, center is the second most important position behind left tackle on the offensive line. So that certainly will help if Long can stay healthy. Long does come with some injury question marks. So I'll give the Jets credit because they have upgraded there. That said, Johnson was not the only problem with the line last year. And as much as people want to believe it, and I understand why people want to believe it, because you always want to believe that you're a quick fix away, that you're one problem away. You fix the weakest part, everything else is fine. That's not necessarily the case with this offensive line. You have Brian Winters, who has really, since 2013 when he entered the league, put together three quarters of a decent season in 2016 at one guard position. The other part guard position, you have James Carpenter, who's been up and down, maybe not a great scheme fit. At the tackle spots, you have Brandon Schell, who's a question mark. He's shown you some good, he's shown you some bad through 2 years. He's played a lot, so I think people are positive because usually a fifth-round pick doesn't play a lot, and he hasn't been a total catastrophe, which is good for a fifth-round pick, but is he a viable long-term starter? I can't say no, but I also can't say yes at this point. And then you have Kelvin Beachum, who is okay. He's not a terrible left tackle, and I think that the difference between the okay left tackle and the bad left tackle is bigger than the difference between the good left tackle and the okay left. And what I mean by that is, if you have a credible tackle who's nothing special on protecting your quarterback's blind side, you at least have a chance. Whereas you do have no chance if you have a bad player at left tackle. That's the type of position that can sink a line. It can sink a team. It can sink an offense. So Beachum's a credible player, and I think it was ultimately a good move by Mike Maccagnan. I think now we'll see what he does this year. Now, if he has a bad year this year, maybe we'll change our mind. I think so far it looks like a fairly successful move for Mike Maccagnan, but I don't think it's a long-term solution. I don't think it's a I don't think it's a long-term fix. I don't think he's good enough that you can count on him being there for 5 years, or that you'd want to count on Beacham being there for 5 years. I think he's a guy who's more of a stopgap, a guy who's a hold-the-fort type of guy. And he's not I'll tell you, he can't run block at all. He may have been the worst run blocker on the offensive line. Now, you live with that because he pass protects pretty solid. His pass protection was pretty solid last year, and that's really what you need out of your left tackle spot. But you'd like more run blocking, and you'd like a guy who, even though his pass protection was decent, it wasn't spectacular. You'd like a higher end player than you have there in Beacham. You can live with it for a short term. You know, if it was a hold the fort guy, that's fine. You'd like a guy who's a little bit steadier, though, longer term. And finally, number five, I'm going to say defensive line. I think that's where I'm going to go, number five. I could go a couple different directions, but I think the Jets still have a hole to fill. They have a question mark on the defensive line. And it looks like they might go internally to try and fill that hole. And it's the hole left by Muhammad Wilkerson, which, if we're being honest, you could argue that losing Wilkerson is addition by subtraction, because Wilkerson just gave you nothing on the field, in the locker room. You know, you want your high paid guys to be leaders. You want those guys to be the hardest workers, and Wilkerson was not. And that contract is just one of the worst. It turned out to be one of the worst contracts in recent memory in the NFL. You have Leonard Williams, which is good. You have Steve McClendon, who's a solid guy who's aging. What else do you have, though? And this is a question mark. And perhaps the Jets have internal solutions, because they had some rotational guys who played decently last year. Xavier Cooper, I thought, did a solid job near the end of the year. He, of course, is back. He's in the mix. You have Mike Pinnell, who I liked what he provided, aside from a couple bad penalties. So there are some pieces there maybe you can work with, but they will need to step up a little bit. So these are question marks. It's not something you can say for certain is a good spot for the Jets. It's a position where you've got some promise. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be a weakness, but for right now, I have questions, and maybe the questions will be answered during the season, but there are questions now on this day, on this March 21st, no less. Thank you for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great day. Hope you stay warm. And I hope the weather reports are wrong and that this storm is not as bad as it's being projected as. Take care, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday.